If you'll go to Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14, we're going to read what people traditionally call the Christmas story. I'm not preaching long. We've had a lot of songs and all of this, and so I'm not going to preach a long time, but I've got some things I want to say, and so since I'm not preaching very long, will you lend me your ears for the 15 minutes or so that I decide to preach?
Amen.
Amen. So let's go to Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14, and hear the words of our God today. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered, or as the King James says, all the world should be taxed. This was the first registration when Quirinius, and I'm sure Robert could pronounce that correctly, was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. Remember, they weren't married, but yet she was already with child. You can imagine they would have been social outcasts. And what? But he was an honorable man. And they followed the plan of God for their lives. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And that's sad. No place for the Savior. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God. Where else would you think that you would find a lamb? And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased." And I'm just going to be taking a few moments today. And I just want to talk about the shepherd's honor. The shepherd's honor. And let's pray. God, in Jesus' name, we're so thankful. We're so thankful for you, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. It's such a privilege to be here. God, we feel we're in a safe place right now. Lord, we feel like we're in a place of refuge right now. Oh, God. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated today. It's interesting to me that when the angels came to announce the birth of Christ, they did not go and announce it to the priests. They did not announce it to the chief priest. They did not announce it to the religious rulers among the Jews. Those didn't get an announcement. But they came and they announced it to shepherds. And you say, "Okay, well, Brother Wiggins, what's the big deal about shepherds?" Well, you got to understand that what shepherds were like in that day and how shepherds were thought of. Okay? Now, before I make this next statement, let me ask, is there anybody here that drives a garbage truck? Good. I'm not going to offend anybody today. That's a very important job, by the way. Years ago, the garbage men went on strike. It's funny. Congress went on strike, and the garbage men went on strike. And the congressmen went on strike. This nation, actually, the economy actually grew while Congress was on strike. But when the garbage men went on strike, you would not believe the pandemonium it caused. I believe it was in Detroit, Michigan. It shut the whole city down. And so it's an honorable profession. But if you go up to a garbage man, or if you go up to somebody and that's a garbage man and you don't know what they do, and you ask them, what do you do for a living? They're most likely going to tell you, I work in the sanitation industry. Because, you know, there's not a being a garbage man, you know, is not something that our society, they should look up on it. They should look up to that. It is an important function, but, you know, there's just some jobs that, you know, you're not happy, you're not excited telling people what kind of job you got, okay? I could give you another example, but I don't need to. When shepherds of that day, it was considered a dirty job. And you smelt, you know, you couldn't come home and hop in a shower like you do nowadays. And shepherds, according to some of the historical accounts that I've read, you know, when a shepherd would come into town, you could sometimes smell them before you saw them. And they smelt like sheep, which wasn't a great, you know, it wasn't, you don't see, you know, Yves Saint Laurent or anything, you know, making, you know, cologne named after sheep. Okay, you don't see that. When you go to Macy's and look at the perfumes behind the case, there's none of them that have did anything with the smell of sheep. And it was looked down upon. If you were a shepherd, it was not an honorable profession. You can go back all the way to the book of Genesis and remember Joseph told his brothers, even all the way back in Genesis, he says, when you go before Pharaoh, you tell them that you have tended cattle, because every shepherd is an abomination in the eyes of an Egyptian. And it was even like that in the days of the Romans during the time of Christ here. The Romans were ruling. And in the Roman culture, a shepherd was the lowest of the lows. But that's who these angels appeared to. That is who these angels appeared to announce to the guys that were not the religious leaders, not the rich and famous, not the movers and shakers, if you will, but the ones that were down on the low end of the totem pole. The angels came to them and announced and said, you guys, if you want to be some of the first to see him, all you got to do is go in there to Bethlehem. He's there. He's there. It's happening right now. You can see what's been prophesied for hundreds and over 1,000 years. You can see, over 2,000 years, you can see what's been prophesied about. And the thing about it that I think is interesting here, and please let me just say this stuff here. When you look, have you ever heard all the arguments about, well, Jesus Christ wasn't born on December 25th? And I've even seen tracts printed, you know, to where, you know, if you celebrate Christmas, you're of the devil. Okay. Sure. I just noticed, Brian, you got a red shirt on. Lloyd, you got a green shirt on. I like that. That works. That works good for me right there. I just noticed that. That works real good for me. Almost made me lose my train of, Brian, you almost made me lose my train of thought here. In fact, I'm going to have to go back up and look at my notes, because you made me lose my train of, oh, I know what I was going to, now I'm good to go. But you've seen these tracks of how, you know, saying, well, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. And one of the reasons, I remember used to have one of those tracks, and the reason they say that he wasn't born on December 25th was because they said, the shepherds would have never been in the field tending sheep at that time of year, because it was cold It was wintry. If you looked at the culture of how they did their flocks and how they did it back in those days, they didn't have sheep out in the field, so there's no way that it would have been in December. Well, I don't think he was born on December 25th. I'll grant you that. And I can explain my reasoning of why I think he was born. But let me tell you something else, though. And this is the beauty of it appearing to the shepherds. This is the beautiful part about him appearing to the shepherds. If you was to get a map and look, I should have gotten a map, and look at Bethlehem, do you know what Bethlehem was really close to? Jerusalem. What was in Jerusalem? The temple. Sacrifices of lambs were offered year-round in Jerusalem, in that temple. Year-round. And you can find this in any Bible dictionary, any Bible history book that talks about the culture of that day. You can find where there were shepherds that had to tend flocks year-round. And if you look, and this is, it's in my notes, I could read it to you exactly, because I copied it off out of the Bible history dictionary that I was reading word for word, but it was even required that all sacrificial animals, the Jews required that all animals used for sacrifice in the temple had to be kept where? Bethlehem. That was the requirement. That's not in the Bible, but that's in history, that the Jews said, and they even told them, they told people, because if you were out there walking out in nowhere and all of a sudden you saw a lamb and it was nobody's, that you could see it, just you could maybe claim it for your own. But the Jews said, if you are in the area of Bethlehem, if you see any type of sheep or lamb, you had better consider it as sacred and is holy, because it is going to be used in the service of the temple. So Jesus Christ, when he was born in Bethlehem, he was born in the area where the lambs were kept that would be used for the sacrifice to push the people's sins ahead for another year. And when those angels came, there were some vigilant shepherds that were rejected by society. They were not accepted by society. They were reviled by society. But they were faithfully watching over this flock that for over 1,000 years the sacrifices had been offered. For 1,000 years. And they came to those shepherds and said, guess what, boys? You're going to get to see the real Lamb of God. You have been, the sheep, the lambs that you have been faithfully caring for and watching over and keeping the wolves away and keeping other predators away and keeping thieves and robbers away. Those sheep were only a type. They were only a shadow. They were just a type and a shadow. And Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that type. He is the fulfillment of that shadow. That Jesus, and did you know that when Jesus Christ got to be 30 years old and he came down to the Jordan River to be baptized, you know what was said. John the Baptist was out there in the Jordan River baptizing, and he looked up and he saw Jesus Christ walk onto the scene. And what did John the Baptist say? Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Bethlehem had been the holding place for sheep to be held, to be cared for, and then used for sacrifice in the temple. But today we are celebrating the day that the real Lamb was born. And let me tell you something else about this lamb, okay? This is what's so great. This is what's so good about this lamb is in the Old Testament time, the sacrifices had to be offered again and again and again, because they never really truly could blot out sins. It was just like they were pushing them ahead, pushing them ahead, pushing them ahead. But the book of Hebrews says that when Jesus Christ was offered, it was a one-time thing, that there never needs to be any more sacrifice for sins after Jesus Christ. Amen. He was the Lamb that took the sins of the world, that Abraham could look forward to the day that he would have his sins remitted. And now here we are 2,000 years after the birth and death of Christ, and we're looking back and we can see our sins remitted. Because one time was all that it took. One time was all that it took. I've got another verse I'd want to go into, but I don't want to go longer. I've got something else I want to say out of Isaiah chapter 11. Maybe it'll hold, and maybe it'll keep. Can you give me another 5 or 7 minutes? Okay. Most of you shook your head. A few were kind of, you know, I'm just funny. You know, have you ever read stuff and especially in the Old Testament, and you just say, man, I have no idea what we're doing. And I mean, I just say, man, I don't even have a clue. Okay? And this passage, please leave it, this translation that I've got, leave this on the screen. You notice it says, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. And in the King James, it says, there shall come a rod out of the stem of Jesse. And you say, rod, stem, what are we talking about? Well, again, King James is an accurate translation, but again, the word stem and the word rod had probably different meanings then, 400 and whatever years ago, when they wrote the King James, than what those words mean now. But let me tell you what this was talking about. There was going to be a Messiah that was going to come out. Listen to this. This is beautiful. There was going to be a Messiah that was going to come, and he was going to be the son of what? David. He was going to be of the lineage, and he was going to be of the line of David. But the problem happened. The problem that occurred was that Israel fell into idolatry. Israel broke the covenant that God made with them. And God mercifully tried time and time again to woo them back. Finally, judgment fell on Israel. And if you read the book of Isaiah, if you read the book of Jeremiah, if you read the book of Daniel, you will find that Isaiah talked about the Assyrians coming down and getting the northern part of the kingdom of Israel and overthrowing that. And then Daniel and Jeremiah talked about the southern part of Israel, the southern kingdom where Jerusalem was. That who was that came in? Well, that was Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire. And basically, they came in and completely overthrew Israel. There was not going to be any more kings of Israel, because Israel as a nation, get this, Israel as a nation died. You hear me? Israel as a nation died. When the Assyrians came in and took that northern kingdom that Isaiah talked about, and when Nebuchadnezzar came in and took that southern kingdom, listen, it was over for the nation of Israel. There wasn't going to be any more line of Davidic kings. It was done. It was through. It was finished. The vision, the desire, that their dreams, their hopes were dashed. And you've seen a tree get cut down, and then maybe a little shoot or branch come up out of that stump. I'll go out in the woods, and that's one of my favorite places when I'm deer hunting. I like to find, if I can find a tree, a stump, I'll sit down on the tree stump. But here's the problem. from the time that that tree, which would represent the Davidic line and the nation of Israel, by the time it got cut off until the birth of Christ, was over 400 years. Now let's just ask a question here. I don't know if I've got any gardeners or farmers here that can give me words of wisdom today, but if you cut down a tree and the next year a shoot came up, would that be expected? Sure. What about 2 years? But then let me ask you a question. What if that tree got cut down and 400 years went by? Is there going to come a little shoot or a little branch out of that? No, man. The roots have rotted. In 400 years, you would dig down and there wouldn't even be any trace of roots. They would have just rotted and gone back in as dirt. There would be nothing left. So can you imagine the beauty of this passage, amen, that it says that here's this stump of the Davidic line of kings and also representing the nation of Israel. That was a tree. That was the hopes and the desires of a nation, of a people. And it got cut off because of their disobedience. And for 400 years, it sits there and does nothing. But because God is faithful, after 400 years, a shoot, a branch, started coming up out of a stump. That's 400 years old. Because he was going to come and he was going to be born in Jerusalem or in Bethlehem. And he was going to deliver his people. Let's all stand today. You know, some songs I've heard so much. And it's funny, no matter how many times you hear them, there's words that still give you a tingle. And the song that Sister Kristen sang this morning, Mary, Did You Know? I've heard that song sung by a bunch of different people. And Sister Kristen does better than most of the ones that I've heard, even some of the ones that recorded it. But one of the words of that song that gets me, two parts of it, is when she says, Mary, did you know that the baby boy that you just delivered someday is going to deliver you? Mary, did you know that when you kissed the face of that baby boy, you have kissed the face of God? You know what? This is Christmas time of year. This is a time to rejoice. This is a time to be happy. A Savior. That stump that had sat there for over 400 years, all of a sudden, a shoot, a branch came up out of that. It was the birth. And we're celebrating that right now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's worship the Lord today. Oh, God, we're so thankful, Lord. Oh, we're thankful, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.